Let's begin with some questions. What if I told you that truth is immutable? What if I told you that it isn't fluid and doesn't adjust to the times we live in? What is the barometer you would use to answer these questions? There are so many conduits in this world we live in vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. These outlets are constant in their pursuit for your soul, looking for your participation to accept its standard of truth. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. This eternal truth is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Making the choice to rely and depend upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. This is the only decision for you to make if abiding in the truth is your life's aim. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity podcast as my co-host and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love. Welcome, faithful and new listeners of the Spoken Verity podcast to our 50th episode. I am Remy Sozo Eko, and it's my honor to be the primary host for this episode, leading the conversation with my brother, the Reverend Wally Harris III. Man of God, how you doing?
It's all good, brother. Ready to go. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you, brother. TSV family, we invite you to join us for another exciting episode of your favorite podcast. But more importantly, let's collectively invite him who created us for his good works to now permeate this time together. Spirit of the living God, we thank you. We have gathered now to speak about that which you have placed on our heart with those who you have called to this episode and to this podcast. We thank you for the privilege of speaking your word. We thank you for finding us worthy. We just commit all of this now into your hands, our words and our thoughts. We invite you now to flow through us, more of you and less of us. Let only you be glorified. And whatever we say today, let it edify your church and bring more souls into your kingdom, that your name will be glorified in the end of this. We thank you, we bless you, we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, brother.
Truth, deception, and lies. That was the focus of our 49th conversation, which was led by the Rev. And it's such a timely message considering the current state of our world. Rev, for those who may have missed it, could you take a few minutes to share some highlights from that episode?
Thank you, brother. TSV community, Brother Sozo and I opened our third season of the Spoken Verity podcast with a conversation centered on truth and the lies and deceptions that attempt to pervert and hide it from those who seek it. Once we have received the light of the gospel, we have a choice as to whom we will serve: truth, who is Jesus Christ, or deception and lies from the father of lies, the enemy of our souls, Satan. The brevity of my summation here is intended to lead you to engaging with Holy Spirit as you listen to our conversation, and while listening, allow him to illuminate the places in your hearts that need healing, mercy, and guidance. This will aid in your continued efforts to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. As always, TSV family, we thank you for staying connected to the Spoken Verity podcast through whatever digital platform you choose to do so. Brother.
Thank you, Rev. And we thank our sovereign God for his grace, which happens to be the subject matter of our conversation for today's episode. Lean in, TSV fam, as the Rev and I delve into the topic of grace, specifically the promiscuity of grace. Some saved and sanctified saints are right now going, "Wait, what did he just say?" Yes, I know the first thing that comes to mind at the mention of the word promiscuous is connected to someone who has many transient sexual relationships. But here are a couple of other definitions attached to that word according to the English dictionary. Not restricted to one class, sort, or person. Indiscriminate. And one of my favorite, composed of all sorts of persons. Now, can we see a familiar description of the nature of God's grace? It climbs the highest mountains and goes into the lowest valleys. It's available to the wealthy in their penthouses and the homeless sleeping under the bridge. It transcends race, culture, ethnicity, social status, and even our past. Yes, grace is so promiscuous that it moved John Newton, a former slave trader who converted to Christianity, to pen the words of that wonderful song, Amazing Grace. A song so popular that even those that may not have grown up in or been to church are quite familiar with it. Another recipient of this grace wrote these words as recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting from the 13th verse. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Those were the words of Apostle Paul. A grace so promiscuous, it's available to a slave trader and a persecutor of the church. Now, we know the grace of God is central to the message of the gospel because it is an intrinsic part of God's character. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not works, lest anyone should boast." Titus 3, starting from the 6th verse, says, "He poured out his Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life." And then in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound to us in all wisdom and prudence." Even so, this foundational biblical doctrine, like most others, finds itself as a focus of controversy, probably born out of deception or a lack of understanding. Some argue that we can be saved without doing nothing. Others also use phrases like fall from grace. Rev, help us better grasp the true nature of God's grace and possibly shed light on any confusion regarding this topic by answering this question. Is the grace of God conditional or unconditional?
Brother, you are opening up another conversation here as being directed by Holy Spirit that is not preached enough in the body of Christ, the understanding of God's grace. Now, obviously, we're understanding this through our human minds that God has given us. And now we have the mind of Christ, but that's from a spiritual perspective so that we can know and understand the things that he reveals to us by his Spirit as he reveals it to us as we seek him. But the grace of God is something that is not talked about enough because it requires us to now get to the heart of our God, which means that we have to spend more time than on Sunday for an hour, right? This is something that we have to now include Monday through Saturday with more than just checking a box. Because without his grace, we don't have eternal life. Without his grace, through faith, we don't have it. So as I answer your question, the structure of your question may be a little misleading for some. So what I'm going to do, and when I say misleading, it's all encompassing when you talk about grace being conditional or unconditional. Well, from what posture are you talking about? And so I'm going to answer this question from the position of being a believer. And in that case, this is a really simple one in terms of its answer. God's grace is unconditional for those that have received his Son, Jesus Christ, by faith. God's saving grace, although, is conditional on that. So if you're an unbeliever, God's grace for salvation is not available to you without Christ. Belief and confession of Jesus Christ will lead to a life pleasing to Him as you conform to His image through continued study and application of His word. So as I mentioned, it depends upon the position your question is being asked. That said, brother, the simplicity of this question and its answer doesn't mean, however, that we cannot continue to expound here and present truth, because in order to understand the grace of God, you have to go to the truth, which is the word of God, to do it. So let's start. You already read this in your opening, but this is the best place to start. This is where we land to explain and to break out the truth. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And as I said, you've already talked about this. You've already put this scripture out here, but I want to make sure that this is laid out as these two verses speak to your first question and also your final question for our conversation today. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, brother, what is this gift? Jesus Christ. Because of what He did on the cross, along with being raised again on the third day by Holy Spirit, our God has extended us eternal grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot save ourselves, but we can choose the free gift that is Jesus Christ after being called by Holy Spirit. The next scripture is lucid. The act of receiving this gift is not of yourself, meaning that you can't make this choice autonomously, TSV community. You must be called by Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 28 through 30 in the King James says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that it might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." Remember, TSV family, that we must stay in His love to see His eternal gift of salvation. Now, what does this mean? It means that we are operating in who God is, love, through intimate relationship with Him through His Son. It also means that we have yielded ourselves to be used by Holy Spirit to win souls for the kingdom. We have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. This is unconditional grace. We see this verity spelled out for us in Jude 21 from the King James, where it says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." This is enduring to the end. We cannot receive His saving grace and then continue in the old way, the old mindsets that we once knew. 1 Peter 2:16 and Galatians 5:13 comes to mind here, Brother Sozo. In 1 Peter 2:16 from the Amplified, it says, "Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover or pretext for evil." Just talking about grace here. Don't use your freedom, TSV family, as a cover or pretext to do what you want, but use it and live as bond servants to God. And part of our service here is to serve others as He directs. Galatians 5:13 from the King James, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Here we go again. This is why we have this grace. Salvation, yes, but then conforming to the image of His Son and then serving as Christ served. And see, if we don't see it from these perspectives, we will use grace to do what we want, the liberty and occasion to our flesh, to cover, to deceive, to lie, to do these different things and do it in the name of God. Mm. We've seen that in scripture. Mm. We've done all these great things in your name. And Lord, Lord, I've done these things. And when you stand before me, he says, depart from me. I never knew you. You worker of iniquity. Why? Because you have no relationship. You did not allow yourself to conform to the image of Jesus Christ and use your grace to continue in sin. God forbid. The last part of the verse in Galatians I just read tethers to an earlier truth I spoke. Our salvation, that free gift, isn't only for our benefit. It is meant to be the foundation for our conforming to the image of Christ, who is love. And from that foundation of salvation, by grace through faith, we will serve each other in love. This, among other verities, is what God's grace provides, my brother. And by receiving his son, Jesus Christ, that grace is extended to us unconditionally.
Thank you, Rev. Thank you for how you brought all of that together. I am so grateful to the Holy Spirit for leading you to point out how the question might seem ambiguous, right? Is the grace of God conditional or unconditional? And I left it like that for a purpose for Holy Spirit to lead. And also for the fact that as our listeners start to engage with us, these are questions that we would want them to respond to as well, so that we can have some kind of interaction.
Yeah, this is good.
Yes. As my brother has said, the grace of God is his inexhaustible supply of goodness towards mankind. But the question is it conditional or unconditional? To properly answer my question, as the Holy Spirit led me to present it for the communion table today, is it depends, which is how you kind of answered it. It depends on where you're looking at it from. Are you inside the house or are you outside the house, so to speak? Yeah. Are you already one of his, or are you trying to be one of his? Because if you are not one of his, it is conditional. But the fact that it's conditional does not contradict the concept of grace.
No,
it doesn't. That's that part that I wanted to dwell on. It's like, go and dip yourself in the water to remove leprosy, Haman, right? It is still a gift by grace. But the dipping of the self of water was more for obedience. Yeah, it's a different grace from the grace we're talking about, which is the one of Christ. But I'm just using that as an example. You know, it's like you're listening to the radio and someone offers a prize to the seventh caller. Now, yeah, this is a gift that's been offered for $100, $200, whatever it is. But conditions must be met to receive it. Hey, you first, you have to be the seventh caller. And second, you have probably have to answer some questions. Now, my brother has touched on a couple of verses there. And I'm just going to add a little bit. I've already read a few verses from scripture, but you can never have enough of scripture. So let's go. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Romans 11, 32. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might test death for everyone. This is how grace is being made available to everyone, the universal nature of grace, so to speak. Now, there is also this part, which my brother also touched on as well, where you have been saved. You don't have to continue in what you used to do, but rather the grace of God should compel you to react in worship in love, in obedience. Yes, it's unconditional. You have it. It's all to you. But also now look at the other part of that. Should you just continue in sin? And that's kind of where this question came from, you know, because people are like, oh, well, as a believer, I can just continue to do whatever I feel like, you know, because, hey, I already have the grace. But that's not how it works. Yes, there's no condition now for the grace of God, but you shouldn't. If you value it, that should compel you to love him more. There's something you want to add here, Rev?
Yeah, I'm reminded of Romans 6:14, where it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Mm. When we receive Jesus Christ, our sins have been remitted. That's a part of the grace, the unconditional reaching from by God our Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. So we are not under the law. Sin has no dominion over us. This is what differs from the unbeliever who is bound by those sins. Now, as a believer, you can still be bound by them because you don't recognize the grace that you have.
Yes.
And you don't walk in that. But to add to your point of sin not having dominion over you, it's because of the grace of God. Yes. It is unconditionally extended to you as a believer in Jesus Christ. As an unbeliever, you have none of that. You have no access to it in that state.
Yes.
But since you're still alive on the earth, the opportunity to receive the unconditional grace from God our Father through Jesus Christ our Lord is available to you if and when Holy Spirit calls you.
I think you mentioned this verse, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, right? It goes to speak about now that we have already been justified. Like it says, we now have peace. And then with that, are we now supposed to now continue to abound in sin? That's not possible. Well, not that's not possible. That's not right, right? If we continue to Romans 5, 2, it says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a piece of this I was coming to, which is, do Christians need grace or is it just non-Christians? Let's look at what Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14 says. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce all godliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, Amen. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. It says it there, grace brought salvation for all people, right? But then it kept on working in our lives to make us holy, to enable us to wait for the return of Christ. So it's this situation where it is conditional when you're getting to the house. And once you get into it, it is no longer conditional. It's unconditional. There's no conditions attached to it. But that's because you have passed the place where it's conditional. So now you should allow it to begin to work in you, to bring forth fruit, to allow the Holy Spirit to yield forth fruit within you. And another thing that made me bring this topic up is that phrase, I mentioned it in my opening, falling from grace. I'll let you come in here after I read this passage of scripture, Rev. Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
Yes. So this free goodness of God came to us before the foundation of the world. It brought us from death in sin to life in Christ, and it continues to walk in us. But there's another side to it. So there is now that part of, hey, I am a believer, it is no longer conditional for me. It's unconditional, but I am struggling with a certain part. So whenever you are in a place of need, he says it here, that we have somebody that can sympathize with whatever weakness you have. So then you approach the throne of grace, and that's where you receive mercy and find grace. So it's more like getting more grace as you continue your journey with him.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So is grace really, really free? Yes, it is. Romans 3, 23 to 26. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This is to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the right time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. If you are an unbeliever listening to this, the price has been paid for you. There are conditions attached to it. Being led by the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you. When you are wanting to give your life to Christ, the only thing that should prompt you to do this is the Spirit of God. We talked about this in episode 49. It should be the Spirit of God that draws you, that pulls you to take that step and believe in him. As I wrap up my answer about grace being conditional or unconditional, one last piece I want to look at here is, as a Christian, you have received salvation by grace through faith. So you continue to an ongoing sanctification and sustaining grace also through faith. The Bible says grace upon grace comes to us in Christ, because we are giving Christ himself through the gospel. That means we live connected to an everlasting supply of abundance. His grace can never run out. So no matter what it is, no matter what you're struggling with as a believer, you can always run to Jesus Christ for more grace. Anything you want to add here, brother?
Yeah, quickly, you mentioned something concerning believers and unbelievers in terms of grace, mm-hmm. and the conditional and unconditional nature of it. And you gave several examples. I wanted to add something quickly in Colossians 1:17 mm-hmm. that I think that will allow some more clarity with the conditional and unconditional when it comes to grace that God extends, mm-hmm. where it says he existed before anything else and he holds all creation together. So when we talk about unconditional grace, we're talking about unconditional grace as it relates to salvation and your eternal soul. But while you're here on this earth, there is unconditional grace extended to all men because you're alive.
Yes.
And see, sometimes we get past, we don't look at it from that perspective because we feel like we are gods unto ourselves, that well, I'm alive because of me. I'm prosperous because of me. I have this great education because I studied hard and I went through school. I've got 9 degrees that tell others that I'm so smart and I'm educated. But that's been extended grace to you for the life that you have right now, whether you're saved or unsaved. So, yes, you cannot get past heaven's gates without Jesus Christ and the grace that he extended, God extended through him. But while you're here on this earth, you have been extended unconditional grace in terms of your life and what you are living and walking in right now, because without that, that is not conditional. You are made in his image. You may not be his, but you're made in his image, which means you are a partaker in that space in terms of you being allowed to be here on this earth. That's grace.
Yes.
Because of that sin that he sees, he could wipe you out.
Yes.
We've seen that in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So, we need to understand that grace, it says his grace is sufficient for us. It's all encompassing.
Yes.
But in terms of its application for your entrance into eternity with him,
yes,
you must have the blood, brother.
Yes.
You got to have the blood.
That's the conditional part of it right there.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You must have it. There is no doubt. There's no work around it.
There's no work around it.
Thank you, brother, for adding that to the conversation. Now, I read a verse at the beginning of the first segment, and we've referenced it here because it's one of the pivotal verses in the Bible regarding grace, Ephesians 2:8-9, where it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." But in James 2:24, it says, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone." This is in the midst of James talking about Abraham and his walk with God. This could be confusing, Rev. Now, this is something we've talked about in 49, and again, we touched on this in 50. Without full understanding, without soaking yourself in the word of God, it could be like, okay, am I supposed to do works? Like, if I serve committees at the church, that means I'm going to heaven. If I'm the one that washes the pastor's car and irons his clothes, like, you know, we start, you know, so jump on the mic, my brother, here and help with this question. What is the relationship between grace and works?
Holy Spirit of God, washing the pastor's car. Yeah, that's good stuff. But, you know, unfortunately, man, there are people that yes. are in the body of Christ that think yes. that, and they yeah. don't understand that the works are attempting to curry favor through from those that can potentially help them, so they think, is really idolatry in certain respects, because you are putting and making the pastor, whomever, your source
yeah.
for elevation, or your source for finances, or your source for encouragement, or your source for all of these things, when in fact they're a resource from our God, who is the provider of those things. And that's who you go to first, and then he will determine how it's disseminated to you. But you have to understand your place in that respect, and then walk in that. So this is, ties into your question, grace versus works. What is the relationship? And this question, brother, this grace versus works, it's really its own show. And this is something that we can deep and dive into this with intricacies and the details, the small, minute details of this, because when you understand your place in regards to the grace that God has given you, and then the works that come along with that, then you'll understand how the enemy of our souls attempts to pervert this, to deceive you into thinking that works will save you, or works will curry favor, or because you didn't do this, God is casting you out. No, scripture says, "I will in no wise cast you out." And why is that? Because of his son. Because of the grace that he's given us through receiving and believing in Jesus Christ. So we need to understand that piece as I answer this question. Brother, when we read scriptures, and the scriptures that we read in the first segment, specifically Ephesians 2:8-9, where Holy Spirit speaking through Paul was clear in the fact that the grace of God is a gift and that works don't save you, this will now tie into the answer to your question. So does that mean we receive the saving grace of our Lord and Savior and then take it easy until we go home to glory? Of course not. However, let's provide more context here for your question. Now, this question goes right to the heart of man. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the first segment, in the sense that, is it you that saves yourself because you've chose to receive the calling of Holy Spirit? Or is it God's grace that allowed you the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ by faith? We know the answer is the latter. We also know that works don't save us. But do we work, brother? Do we work, TSV community? Well, let me answer that with an emphatic yes. To reinforce my answer, let's read James 2. And you talked about this a little bit, but I want to read this whole passage here, James 14 through 26. Yeah. And it's a little lengthy, but this will set the table on the relationship between grace through faith for our salvation and works concerning the same. Yeah. This is from the New King James Version. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You then see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. And I'm going to explain a little bit about this justification here. Likewise, was Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. TSV family, remember that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Being pleasing to God is receiving his son and then conforming to his image. Grace through faith provided by a God, our Father, through what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and us receiving that gift is the beginning act for us as now believers to be in right standing with him. This is the faith that pleases God. If we attempt to work to please God without Jesus, there is no profit. We see this in Isaiah 64:6 and Romans 3:19-26. Isaiah 64:6 in the King James says that, but we are all an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Romans 3:19-26 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that it is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So as I wrap my answer with, our foundational work after receiving Jesus Christ is conforming to him by faith. That only happens by extension of his grace through faith in God's gift to us, Jesus Christ. That's what pleases him. Our works don't save us. They do, however, justify us as believers. This is an identifier.
Yes.
It presents us as believers through what we do.
Yes.
Separation. Mm-hmm. You see the justification through faith based upon what you do.
Yeah.
You still had to receive him. You still had to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth There's a work aspect in that.
Yes.
That's by faith.
Yes.
While aiding and are conforming to the image of Jesus Christ in love. This is what our works does. Mm-hmm. It justifies us as believers while aiding and are conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. This posture, my brother, fortifies us so that we are meet for the master's use to serve one another in love. My brother.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your ministration to my brother. That's the issue, brother. When people say that the Bible is contradictory, it's because you read it like a novel, like something that you picked up from the shelves of the bookstore, like, okay, let me just, oh, it says this here, and you read it out of context. So I picked James 2:24,
right,
which is what most people would do. But then you, being led by Holy Spirit, stepped back and grabbed the entirety of it to properly show what that is said right there. And that's right. Exactly what is required of us as Christians to fully understand the gospel, which is the truth, the verity of the word of God. We can't just pick, oh, one, this verse says this and this verse says that. You step back and read the entire context. And even with that, you ask Holy Spirit to help you to understand. You have covered almost everything that I was going to touch on, but I'll add this little piece. There are works of the flesh, which we know, Galatians 5:19-21 talks about it. There are works of the law or works of human righteousness, right? Yeah, Galatians 2:6, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ Jesus and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. My brother already touched on this. There is also the works of faith, and you alluded to this as well. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. And then Galatians 5:6, for him, Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith walking through love. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. John 6:28-29. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. So we see here that there is works to be done, right? There's all of this, again, fits the different definition. There are different works, but only context can tell what is meant in each particular case. When you started your response, my brother, we talked about how people go off in this, oh, I'm working for the Lord, I'm working for the Lord, as a precondition to gain what has already been given. So when trials come, those are the first that back away. Like, man, I serve, I do this, I do that, I do this, I do A, B, C, D, F, I wash the pastor's clothes, I clean the kitchen, I do this, I stay behind, I'm the last person to leave. Like, all of this, I should be exempt from issues in life. I should be exempt from everything. Because you are believing that by your works, which in this place is mostly works of the flesh, that you are gaining any kind of favor. Because part of works of the flesh is idolatry, which we talked about, when you now place anything above God, is your church, your pastor, person or thing, place person or thing like a noun, anything above, when you place anything above God is idolatry. When you now start looking at this thing, that this is okay, when I do this, God will love me. You are invalidating the cross. All of the love Christ has made available to you, you are rejecting it. Maybe unknowingly, in ignorance, because you don't have the knowledge that this grace has been made available to you, so you don't have to dwell in works. Rev.
Your justification, the works being justified, are only done when it glorifies God.
Come on.
If you're working to glorify yourself, even as a believer, they're not justified because it doesn't identify you as the righteousness of God. It's identifying you as the enemy of our souls. Now, you are still a believer in Jesus Christ. My point is that you are not operating in works that will justify you, that will demonstrate to the world that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And this goes with iniquity, sins, you know, things of that nature, idolatry, any of those things that are contrary to the word of God. But you have to understand that the justification here is only centered on the works that glorify our God. And you will only do that as a believer in Jesus Christ, at least as a precondition. Now, you may not always do it as a believer, but the opportunity and the ability to do so is based upon your position as a son or daughter of God through Jesus Christ.
Yes, brother. Yes. If it's to glorify you, if it's to make you look good, if it's to maybe in your mind think that you're buying your way into heaven more, like, oh, let me do this. And something just dropped in my spirit, even in giving, bro, as a believer. Like, man, you know, hey, I give 40%. Oh, I give 70%. You're missing the point.
Right. And not only that, why are you telling everybody about it? Unless you're the head of a household in your family, or unless you're a shepherd of a house and you're teaching a lesson as Holy Spirit directs you, you shouldn't be out here telling everybody how much you've given. None of that matters. It's just like when you fast. It's the same scenario. You've received your benefit.
Yes.
When you're telling people, you're looking for the praise of men as opposed to the exaltation of our God. Yes. And that's the problem. You're right. We tend to forget that we are his handiwork.
Hey.
So as his handiwork, there is a path that has already been purposed. And when you attempt to deviate from that, using grace as a cover, then what you're doing is you are telling our God that what you've purposed for me is not for me. I will direct my own ship here.
Yes.
I will operate in the places that I want to operate in, bringing glory to myself. And this is where, and even in the church, we still struggle because we feel like that someone hasn't acknowledged us because of what we've been doing. Some of the efforts that we've made for years and years and years. But if you're working under people, the enemy will make sure that no one is acknowledging you, that no one is speaking to you, because then he can use that to continue to keep your mind focused on the work as opposed to the word that says you work for him and you serve others through the grace that God has given you. But instead, we tend to focus and go inwardly and get selfish because I've done all of these great things. I've done all of these things for you, God, for all of these people. And yet and still, I don't have what I want. Part of that issue is because you have not yielded yourself truly and fully to Holy Spirit because you're thinking about yourself.
Yes.
Maybe this is what you need to pull out of you, this selfishness, so that you can go to the next level. And the more you continue to complain about where you are in life will be more of the reason why you'll stay there.
Yes.
Scripture tells us to do all things without murmurings and disputings. All things.
Bro.
So that we look like children of God is what it says. But when you're not operating in that place, you look like the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Grace, my brother, we cannot use it as a liberty and occasion to our flesh.
No, no, we cannot at all. And that is so true. It happens a lot where, especially for those that serve, you know, and it's you get into this trap where maybe somebody else is recognized and you're like, man, I've been here how many years? Nobody has recognized me. No, to your point, you because you are there for man, not for God. If you're there for God, you don't care who recognizes you. You don't even see anybody. You come, you're in and you're out. It's never to be like, you don't even count the years. Like, man, I've been doing this 15 years. It doesn't matter to you. You are here because he told you to be there. The minute he tells you to move to something else, you move. But until then, you're doing that which he's called you to do.
Amen.
Simple.
And you don't get an offense. Oh. You don't let those offenses that come cut off what he's doing in your life. And that's what scripture tells us. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend me. Yeah. I love the law of the Lord, his love that he shed for us, through us, from Jesus Christ. And so I'm not going to be moved away because I've been offended and cut off the process that he's doing through the grace he extended me. I'm not going to operate like that, because when I do that, it's not just about it affecting me. I have a wife and I have children. I am connected. We have businesses. We have things that God has trusted us to steward. And if we get caught up in our flesh because of what someone didn't do for us, Jesus Christ did it all for us by grace. So that's where we stay. And we worship him because of that, in grace and in truth. So, yeah, we think when you said that, brother, this is something that we've got to make sure that we understand. It's not about the works that we do.
Yes.
It's about the grace that we have.
Yes. Yes. That is so true, brother. You just brought up a set. This could just go into a different thing now. When you are married and you have family, you're operating in a different space. Pastor Joe shared that message recently, that what you don't confront, you comfort. And then you get to a place like when you fail to confront it, it passes down. And then you now have seeds that are dealing with issues that you should have fought through.
The iniquity visiting. The sins of the father.
Let's go back, episode 47.
Man, yes, 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 yes. And see, this is where we, and I know this may be a little bit of a sidebar, but this is where we as men, as men of God, have to take the stand as led by Holy Spirit to cut off those iniquities. They stop with you. And look, no one's perfect. You're not going to do these things perfectly, but you can do them in humility and you can be consistent. Because when you are operating in that, power is there. And consistency lies the power. And it's not necessarily a scripture, but when you think about that, the consistency, the conviction, doing things as he has directed will produce the power because of the obedience to his word.
Yes.
And this is where we as believers will see the fullness of the grace that he's extended us in all aspects of our lives, not because of what we do, but because of who we are to him through Jesus Christ. And then our works will fall in line. You mentioned this a little bit earlier. Your heart is going to want to do these things.
Yes.
Your mind being conformed to what the word of God is, says, the washing of the water of the word, you will be looking for places to do good and to be good and to serve others. You won't be looking for things that are happening for yourself.
Come on.
You're blessed to be a blessing. And I know that may sound cliche and we hear that in church all the time, but is that actually occurring in your life? Yeah. Are you sowing those seeds of your time, your talents, a kind word, the words that you get from Holy Spirit, how you live your life?
Yeah.
This is all by grace.
Come on. Come on. Come on, man of God. Come on. We got to wrap up.
We can keep going, brother. Holy Spirit of God. Yeah.
Well, listeners, thank you for joining us for this 50th episode of The Spoken Verity. The Rev and I have been focusing the past few minutes here on the promiscuity of grace and examining that nature of it being promiscuous as available to everyone, and within the context of that, answering the question, so is there a condition attached to it or isn't there a condition? And then beyond that, now we also spend some time looking at, okay, what about grace versus works? What's the relationship there within this context of the promiscuity of grace, as in grace being available to everyone? Yes, grace is given freely, but it is not free. For those that are not of Christ, there is a condition. And for those that have already given their life to Christ, confessed with their mouth and believed in their heart, being led by the Holy Spirit, that Christ is Lord, that goodness of God ought to lead us to repentance. As Paul would remind us in Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Yes, grace is promiscuous. It is available to all. Rev, when we get together next week for episode 51, what should our TSV family be expecting?
Brother Sozo, the 51st edition of the Spoken Verity podcast will unpack religion versus relationship. An in-depth study on our relationship with God and man. TSV family, we look forward to you joining us next week.
Brother, that's a 5-hour episode. Should we prepare them?
That will be as long as Holy Spirit directs. And it's probably going to be a series, just like I think that Truth is going to be a series too. But this is where he directed me, and this is where we're going to go next week.
Religion versus relationship. TSV family, don't miss the next episode of the Spoken Verity podcast. I can't wait for what the Holy Spirit has in store for us as well, because we get edified as we bring this to you, being led by his Spirit. Thank you for joining us for another episode. Let's close episode 15 prayer. Spirit of the living God, thank you. We spent the last minutes talking about grace, that gift that is made available to us because of the perfect and finished work of Christ. It has already been done. Yeah, there are conditions for unbelievers that are listening. They have to be led by you. They have to confess. They have to believe. And those of us that have already confessed and believe and proclaim that you are Lord, that grace, your grace compels us to do more, to follow in your footstep, to being conformed to the image of Christ. I just thank you for again for leading us to this episode. I thank you for your grace that keeps us going. This podcast, our businesses, our family, everything we have, it's by your grace, all of it, and we are grateful. I thank you for those that you have called to this podcast, those you've called to this episode. I thank you for using us today to bring your word to their hearts, believers and non-believers alike. Let your name be glorified. We thank you. We bless you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, brother.
What a blessing it was for us to commune together during this week's episode. We are so thankful for your steadfast support of the Spoken Verity podcast. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so that we can continue to demonstrate our fervent love and compassion for you, our Holy Spirit-inspired audience, each and every week. The heart of our podcast is to speak verity to aid Holy Spirit's leading of souls to Jesus Christ. If your eternal salvation isn't secure today, we invite you to go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love. All the blessings.